Happy Father's Day, Father. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for being in our presence.
Yes, God.
You are here. So, Father, I commit to you this time as you speak to your children that their hearts would be open to hear from you, that you would speak the things to them that they need to hear, and you would show them the things they need to see concerning their own earthly fathers. Amen. If you're looking for a title for this, it is entitled, The Father Sees. Okay? I'm going to talk a little bit about the, I call it a dysfunctional family, but I probably shouldn't, and a unique family. And it starts in Genesis 15, 4 through 5. So here you have Abram, whose name means father, and he's 75 years old at this time, no children. He's a little concerned with all this wealth that he's been blessed with, and he's talking to the Lord about it, and he's saying, I got all this stuff, and I've got no one to give it to but my servant Eliezer. And God essentially says to him, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. I always thought that that was kind of a poetic thing, and all of a sudden I realized he didn't say, look at all of the stars, look at the stars. So that perspective that he had is how many offspring he is going to be accountable for. That's literal. Eventually we discover that Abram's name changes to Abraham, father of many nations. Now, if you're able to track back, I will guarantee you one way in all of the transfers of things of people doing what they're doing, you're one of his offspring. Not just physically, but also spiritually. Okay, we move on. So, unique relationship. It's been, he's 75 years old, no kids. His wife, I'm going to probably pronounce it Sarai. Okay, good enough for me. Says to him, again, this is the dysfunctional part. I haven't given you any kids. I got this great idea. Here, take my maidservant, make her your wife, and get her pregnant. Huh? That sounds dysfunctional to me. But anyway, that's what happens. She gets pregnant. And Sarai gets ticked off at him because she's pregnant and blames him for all the hassle that she's having with Hagar. Okay, typical, well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say, yeah, never mind, I don't have to say anything, okay, just, what? So he gets blamed for sleeping with his new wife, Sarai, or Hagar, and Hagar is not very nice to Sarai, so she takes it out on Hagar. Hagar splits, and she's now off someplace, and now I'll actually read a scripture. So she's pregnant, and Abram is 86 years old at this time. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road of Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have not seen the one who sees me. That is why the well that was there, she ends up, Abram eventually calls that well, the God who sees me. Dysfunctional family, kind of an outcast. I mean, she was a slave before, now pregnant, now about to produce a nation that eventually becomes a thorn in Israel's side for the rest of eternity. Well, at least for the rest of where we're at now. That's currently what's going on with the nation of Israel. I want you to stop for a minute. In the midst of her circumstances of misery, God saw her. God sees you. God sees you. Every detail of you. Every part, every trial, every test you go with, you go through, he's there with you. He sees what's going on with you. He understands. He's waiting for you to include him and wanting you to take his hand in your life. As you go through these things from birth until now, and if you haven't started now, start now, taking the hand of your father to go with you in whatever it is that you're going through. He's there waiting for you. He will not force himself on you. He's waiting for you to bring him into your life that you might take his hand and hear the counsel of God the Father yourself. That's what this is all about. The Father sent his son to die on a cross to restore relationship back to him. The Father has always watched what was going on. I also want you to be aware that he also saw your father, the fathers that you had. He knows their lives intimately. He knows why they were the way they were. Some of you have come through or come by dysfunctional families with fathers who you go, wow. I want you to recognize that the Father knows them too. They are the way they are for things that they've gone through. Now, what I'm wanting you to get from, at least one of the things I'm wanting you to get from my sharing with you, is because I have a father who listens, I can ask him questions. So with that, in going through, and you're going to hear my testimony in terms of my relationship with my father, earthly father, I was able to say, why is he like this? And then God would orchestrate something and I would go, oh, okay, I understand the why. Understanding the why doesn't necessarily condone the behavior, but it gives you understanding to be able to accept, because this may come as a surprise to you. All of us, except maybe Bruce, all of us don't have it completely right yet. There are still issues that God is wanting to deal with. That means I have a son who has to continually cut me grace because there's still issues in my own life that God hasn't dealt with yet. I had a father, well, I had a mother for that matter, who, I guess that is a statement. I had both a father and a mother. They were incapable of showing love. That had to be kind of what the trend was going on, because I've discovered other people about my age. That was just seemed to be the way things were. And in that, I asked, how come my father never showed me love? He was definitely not a touchy-feely person. And then I saw my brother, being as he is, trash another car, at which point my dad would go ahead and rebuild the whole engine so that he would have a car to get to work. So he would go out and get the parts to fix the car that my brother trashed because of his stupidity, so that he could make sure my brother was going to be able to go to work. Never said he loved my brother or me, but he always made sure that he demonstrated his love to us by what he did. Oh, that changed my perspective. Psalm 33, 13 through 15. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all of mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, he considers everything they do. Which, as I've said, that included my father. It changed my perspective so that I could begin to start to understand. My father, to put it lightly, was argumentative. He loved to argue and was malicious in it. He never lost an argument because he would go for your jugular and call you names and whatever to make sure he won. I didn't understand kind of where he was at, and then I began to So he evaluated people by their ability to think and to support what they think. That was why he argued with people. So he would argue with my sister, my brother, me, anybody else. And if you couldn't support yourself rationally, whatever it was you believed in, whether it be religion or not religion, so that became an issue with us eventually. Because if you can't support what you believe, then you don't really believe with what you believe, according to him. So I understood the rationale, but that was the reason why he was the way he was, and I could go, okay. So I learned off real quick. I didn't get into many arguments with him. I just watched him argue with my brother and sister, and he'd bring them to tears. And eventually, they ended up hating him because of he was the way he was. My brother, in all honesty, never did develop common sense. Whatever my father told him to do, he would do the exact opposite. If you were to use a common term that we have now, my brother was woke and is. So it gives you some idea. Well, that's directly against the personality of my father or who he was. Example of my brother's. He decided, we lived in Erie, Pennsylvania, the bottom of a hill. It's winter time, and my brother went and got the toboggan out, went all the way to the top of the hill, and rather than going down the street, he decided he would go through the neighbor's yards. And we were at the bottom of it. So he gets on the toboggan, heads on down, except we had a fence in our yard, and he knocks out a chip out of his tooth. And so I saw, as I was looking at it, so somebody had to pay for it. My dad had to work more to pay so that he could get his tooth fixed. Gets it fixed. The following day, he goes up on the hill, comes down again, and knocks it out again. Okay, so his whole life was that kind of stuff. So my father, being argumentative, would call him on that, but eventually just kind of like give up. My sister, on the other hand, the order of things, when my sister came along, they gave her everything. They paid for her college, her housing, and everything, so that she graduated from college as valedictorian of her nursing school and never used it. So they thought that was kind of, so I'm, so again, I'm looking at this through hindsight, I'm now looking to, why is it that it was not the same for me? So they realized that didn't work real well. So when it came to my brother, they paid for his tuition, but not his housing. And he really didn't use his education either. So when it came to me, there was no attempt at all. Okay, my whole life, I was always the one on the bottom who never seemed to get, but I got the greatest thing that there was, and that was understanding of my father. I got the greater gift by getting none at all, because I chose to ask God, why this? Okay. Not much to say. My sister's husband had no mechanical abilities or practical skills. I don't need to say any more than that in terms of his relationship with my dad. I observed and thought like my dad, did not necessarily agree with him, especially religion, and especially about Jesus. And then we have my lovely wife. She watched and was silent. And I got this, I think, yesterday or last night, and I just added it in. Her relationship with my dad, to sum it real simple, was Beauty and the Beast. He loved her because she loved him unconditionally. Now, give you some funny ideas in terms of how much my dad loved her. She loved Bailey's creams. Okay, it's an after-dinner drink, okay? And so my dad would, every time she'd come, he always made sure he had a bottle for her and everything, and he poured her out a drink and hands it to her, and she says to him, Dad, you know I want it frothy. So he takes it back, takes the cap off, pours it on in, puts it up. And then pours it out for her and gets it again. Okay. She absolutely loves fires in the fireplace. So every time we would come, he'd make sure he had a fire in the fireplace, including the middle of July. Okay. First Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his appearance or his height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as the man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The father looked upon my father's heart. He saw as my wife saw. So I learned, as I said, I learned to ask, why is my father like this? My sister once said that my father ruled over my mother and wouldn't let her drive or that kind of stuff. And I laughed because I love my father, I had conversations with him that no one else had. I would come and he knew that she loved him and she knew that I accepted him where he was at. The good news is I could not get drunk, but there were times that we would come, everybody else would go to bed, he would want to sit and talk, and so we would drink. Well, the good news is it didn't have any effect on me, but it was this expensive stuff, it was icky, but whatever. But he told me about his whole life, and I began to understand why he was what he was. He was the only son with three sisters, so he was alone. He had a father who was abusive. He had a father who did not treat one of his sisters well, who had polio. I won't go into the details. You can let that go as it is. So these are all the things that he saw from an abusive father who obviously never showed love to him. But it was different. His father never did anything for him either. It was always, there's a pile of shingles out there. Put them on the garage before I got home. No instruction, no anything. And this is the walk that he had with his father. There was things he had to do. He was told to do them. He did them, didn't know how to do them, and had to learn how to do them on his own. So when my sister said that my father ruled over my mother, I laughed because I knew that it wasn't true. I'd heard the stories. When they first got married, they were a drinking couple. She stopped because I think she was pregnant at the time. But my father kept going out drinking, and she kept telling him, I don't want you going out drinking. So finally he came home one night to come on in and couldn't get in the door because she had nailed it shut from the inside. And what I learned concerning my mother, you never, ever cross her. Okay? Another example, wanting to be the dutiful bride. My dad had pants, and she was going to iron them for the first time. And you know, you have these little seams here. Well, she thought she'd iron them out. She spent all day ironing the seams out. Now, you got to realize, we were living in Canada, so we had a lot of them. They called them coolies. That was Asians, okay, there. And they wore the pants where there were no seams. So anyway, she irons them out, and he gets ticked at her because he says, I don't want to look like a coolie. No, 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 no. And she said, fine, I will never iron another piece of your clothing. And she never did. He was still ironing 10 years ago. Okay, you don't cross her. What was the other one that was bizarre? Oh, she got into a small fender bender. Didn't wreck the car or anything, and evidently my dad called her on it and yelled at her or something, and she said, fine, I'll never drive again, and I'm not walking to the grocery store. So now for the rest of them, that was at least 30 years, every time she needed to go someplace, I'm wanting to go here, and he would have to drive her, and he would have to drive her, and he would have to drive her. Okay. So no, my dad didn't control my mother. My sister said, and again, this causes me to realize, he didn't love anyone but himself. Okay. I assumed he didn't love me. And I said, does my dad love me? I shared this for John. If you wanted to hold, wanted 5 minutes, I only had 4 3/4. I lost that with a firecracker, okay, out of my own stupidity. That night when I came home, bandages all over, doors closed, and I'm hearing this sobbing going on. Just louder and louder and louder. Was my dad. He loved me, but couldn't show that he loved me. Changed everything again. I began to look for those things and began to ask questions and began to understand him to bring me to a place that you'll hear about eventually. It was interesting, he never seemed to be ever included in anything. He would take us on vacations. We'd go to like a museum or something with a Tussauds wax museum, and we'd pay for it and start going through, and all of a sudden, he's gone. I mean, he's like, where is he? Another time we went to the Gulf, you know, and mother and with the grandkids and Nat, or they're all playing in the water, and I'm wondering, where is my dad? And he's up on the sand dune walking all by himself. Why? He didn't have any social skills at all. That's why he had problems. He could have been something really important at every company he worked with, because there was no one more intelligent than him. He could fix everything, literally. But his personality skills, argumentative. He didn't know how to express love or become a part of love. He didn't know, if he were to go down there, he wouldn't know what to do. So he watched from up above because he didn't know how to. He wanted absolutely nothing to do with religion. If I mentioned Jesus, and he made a statement, I don't ever want to hear the name of Jesus in my house, period. Well, we got saved. Okay? And we were talking about something or another, and I said, well, the only answer for that question is Jesus. He's the only one that can solve that problem. And he got ticked and started yelling at me. I said, Dad, you taught me to never lie. And I can only give you the answer I know that is the truth. And the truth is Jesus. He's the only answer to the question that you have. Blah, 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 blah. And that conversation stopped. Okay, we were okay there so far. Why did he hate religion? At another time of spending with him early morning and talking to him. One of the elders of the church that we were going to was also, I just dropped me. Can I put it in this pocket? Yes, good. Who was also the Boy Scout leader, tried to abuse him. Well, no longer wanted anything to do with religion. Oh. Now, I had seen my dad, though. Still remember this, we're driving down some road someplace, the car up ahead of us, something happens, and you're hearing this loud noise, guy pulls over, and his muffler had fallen off a portion of his car. My dad pulls up behind him, opens up the door, takes off his suit coat, slams the door, goes to the trunk, gets a coat hanger, and is back and underneath this guy's car, already wiring it up. My dad loved to help people. That's what he lived for. He showed his love by what he did. So I saw that from him. So go back to my father controlling my mother. Yeah, no. I made the mistake once again of mentioning Jesus in his house. It's his house. He didn't want that name mentioned in his house. I did. He said, get out. So I went to Nat and says, well, get the boys, get the kids, let's pack everything up, we're leaving. So we're getting everything packed up. My mother comes around and says, what are you doing? Well, we're packing up and everything because I mentioned Jesus and Dad's kicked us out of the house, so we're leaving. Just wait a minute. And she goes away. Period of time takes black. My dad comes out of the room. You can stay. So we did. So because of who I am, that still was all a part of what I did. Now, I did give him my very first Bible that was all highlighted and everything, that just as I was leaving. Now, that was the other thing about my dad. He did not like physical contact. Well, when we became believers, that went out I'm a hugger. So every time we would leave or arrive, I don't care what you want. So when I left, and then I gave him my Bible that was already highlighted for him, expecting that he would never read it. Take that. File it over here, okay? The fatherless, Psalm 10:14. But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you, and you are the helper of the fatherless. Hosea 14:3. For you alone, O Lord, the fatherless finds mercy. You may not realize it, but probably many of you in your relationships with your father, you were fatherless, even though you had a father in your household. If yours like anybody else's, even though my father was in the household, There was no communication with him. He would come home, he would eat with us, and then he would have his projects to do, or he would watch TV. Or, in order to have enough money to pay for the bills of the stupidity of one of your sons, you would have to go and work more hours. And on and on. He was an absent father that provided for us, but you never really saw him. Sometimes vacations, but then he wasn't even a part of that. I know many of you have come through households where you had a father, but you really didn't have a father. You didn't have a father that sat down and talked to you about anything of any value, unless he was yelling at you. Many of us, in one way or another, are the fatherless. Well, that's cool. Do you know why that's cool? Because then it makes our Heavenly Father my Father. So in all of these things that I've mentioned to you, because I really didn't have a father who was there, I turned to the one who is my Father, who truly is my Father. So as a result of that, who I am and what you see and what I share about is pretty much always the same thing. You have an opportunity to have a relationship with the Father. Don't miss out. If you have questions, ask him. And I guarantee you, he will bring answers. Now, if you're looking for the Cecil B. DeMille moment where he says, since I'm picking on Bruce, "Bruce, don't go that way," it isn't going to happen. Or, "Sandy, you don't want to do that." That is not how God does what he does. That would make it easier, but it will be, you hear a conversation and it's like, "That's the answer to my question." Or you'd come here on a Sunday and you didn't understand why God was the way he wants, and somebody is sharing and it's like, "That's the answer to my question." Now sometimes I would pick up the word and it's like, jump off the page, and it would be the answer to my question. He never did not answer my questions. Now, sometimes he would answer, "You don't need to know that." I made the mistake once pursuing it to finally get an answer even on that question, and it's like, "I really didn't want to know that." So I encourage you, don't do that far. No heart too hard. Romans 8, 27 through 29. "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." His promise. Isaiah, I think I'm using the Acts verse, Acts 28, 27 through 28. "For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." Nat asked God for my dad's salvation. He heard. Impossible, but he heard. I mean, totally and completely impossible. She believed this to be true because he gave her this scripture. Psalm 27, 13 through 14. "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord." Nat got a word specifically from the Lord concerning my father. "There is no heart that I cannot change." I laughed at her. Then she got a vision. She got a vision of seeing my dad laying in a bed, hospital bed, and her laying hands on his stomach and praying for him. To which I said, you got to be closer just a little bit. Yeah, that isn't going to happen. We decided to go and visit my folks because something was going on with my dad. So it turns out, my sister thought he had gone nuts. So she committed him into an insane asylum. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So I called we were going to go on Thanksgiving time to go. So on the Friday before Thanksgiving, I give my mom a call and say, we're going to come for Thanksgiving and we're going to bring the turkey and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she says, oh, no, bud, don't waste your time coming. He's in this institution. The drugs that he's on, he's not even going to recognize you, and on and on and on and on and on and on. Oh, okay. Anyway, call on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving to talk to her. And she says, oh, so you're coming for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I guess we are. So we had to get the turkey and everything. So anyway, we're heading there. Now, I never go Thanksgiving. Now, they live in Ohio, the other side of Cleveland. We live in Wisconsin, which is just before Chicago, and a whole bunch of other cities. Normally, it takes me, I don't always go the speed limit. Normally, it takes me about 4 hours, maybe 4.5. So we're going. I get off work in the car that we thought we were going to take. I get off work and head into the bank to get money. And when I come on out, I have a flat. Well, I don't have time to fix the flat. I go ahead and air it up and drive home. We got to take the other car, which I didn't particularly want to take. So we get on the road. 13 hours later, at, I don't know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're at my folks' place. Wow. Now, I end up finding out that my dad's not there, so I'm assuming that, oh, no, she had said that he'd come home. Okay, so that was right. One of the reasons was that he had come on home, okay? So he's home, right? How do I get in there in four? She's 4 o'clock in the morning, and she's sitting at the couch looking out the window for us to come. Really quiet because I don't want to wake my dad up. Now I discover that he had done all of this stuff, which means he washed all of the windows of the whole house, inside, outside, lower level, upper level, except for the picture window, which my mother would not allow him because she had gets little signs and stuff. Well, a dove, it hit the window, and you had this imprint of the wings, and it looked just like an angel. So she wouldn't let him wash that one off. He changed the oil on every possible power thing that he had and put a little tag on it that had the date on it. He washed and waxed all of the linoleum floors and re-waxed them. He shampooed all of the carpets of the whole house. Now, he was doing this while Nat and I were in Israel in October of 99. Okay, so take that, file it away over here. We now show up. I'm assuming that he's in the other room, and she says, oh no, your sister put him back in the institution. Oh, okay, well then we'll go and visit him tomorrow. No, they have strict visiting hours. You're not allowed to come until tomorrow evening. And I hear, I'm grading the greater than visiting hours. Okay. Well, then I'll give him a call. Well, no, he's only allowed to use the phone at noontime. I'm greater than phone calls. Okay. And even if you go and see him, he's going to be on drugs and he's not going to recognize you. I'm greater than drugs. Okay. So anyway, the next morning, we get up. It's like, you know, we got in at 4 o'clock. Phone rings and it's like 8 o'clock. You know, my mom says, go and answer the phone. I answer the phone and I hear on the other end of the phone, where the are you? Why aren't you here yet? It's my dad. I guess we're on our way. Okay. So we take my mom. That's a good thing. We show up at this place. He's not in this. He's just in a regular hospital bed. Okay. Two beds in it. Only one. He's sitting in the chair between the two beds. He's the only one in the room. And it's a typical room, you know, where you have the great big armoire where you have all your clothes and the countertop there. And so we spent 13 hours driving there just for this moment. And so I sit up in the corner there saying, okay, Lord, I'm here. What do you want me to say? And then I look at my dad who's sitting in the chair between it and he has a brown lunch bag and he's hyperventilating in the bag. And I'm not that stupid. I'm not going to say, hey, Dad, how are you doing? She's got, what? 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 I've got spent 13 hours and I have nothing to say. And he takes the bag down and says, Bud, you need to pray for me. I need to be saved. Yes! And what comes out of my mouth is, I'm sorry, Dad, my prayers won't do you any good. You need to cry out to God yourself. At which point, he lifts up his hands and says, God, I cry out to you and I ask that you forgive me for all of my sins. And he begins to weep and weep and weep and weep and weep and weep. Cool. Okay. We head home. Well, he lived across the street from a Lutheran church that he put installed pews over there. He fixed a steamroller that broke down over there. I mean, on and on. He had a relationship with this guy as long as he never mentioned Jesus, okay? So he loved this guy. So I knew this. So I come home and thought, well, he probably wants to hear this. So as I'm walking across the street over to this guy's church, I realized he never gave his life to Jesus. He just cried out to God. And I said, I've done everything I know to do, Lord. I don't know what else to do. If he needs to give his life to you, Jesus, then you've got to do something here. So I go on over and I tell the pastor this, and he gets all excited, da-da-da-da, come on back. Head back over later on that afternoon. He's not in his room. Okay. And so we look for him, and they say, oh, he's down in the music room. So we head on down there just as this woman is. Oh, now you got to remember, my sister told me that his mind had gone. Okay? All right. So we head down to the music room just as this woman is packing up her guitar with my mom. And my dad turns to the woman, oh, don't pack up your guitar now. I'm wanting you to sing the song you sang 3 days ago, which was I Love You Truly. Well, he's got to have a pretty good mind to be able to remember that. So again, God is answering. I'm trying to show you that God answers my dumb questions. He'll answer yours. So at any rate, she gets the guitar back out and begins to sing I Love You Truly. And while he's doing it, my dad is sitting there looking at my mother and mouthing the words to her. Okay. Go through all that, bring him on back. He wants to walk from the door to the bed, gets into the bed, and he says, Nat, can you pray for me? So she goes over to the bed and she... It was the vision. And she prays for him. And she says to him, that he need not fear death. Oh, I didn't find it. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, not crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So we had all of that that went on. Matt prayed for him. That was really cool. We headed on back home. It was later that night, so we headed back over there early the next morning. This is Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. All that took place on Thanksgiving Day. Showed up at the hospital, and they said, "Oh, you can't go up on the floor now. There's been an event that took place." Okay. So we're waiting and waiting. Finally, they come on out, and they get a wheelchair for my mom. And they said, "Well, we need to..." I didn't realize that the hospital, I'm sorry, this housing spot was attached to a hospital. So anyway, we put my mom in the wheelchair, and so we went down through the tunnel and then under on over, and we're in the waiting room. Okay. So while we're sitting there waiting, and I can still see it like it was yesterday, I look, come on out, because they haven't gotten back to us or anything. And all of a sudden, I step out the door, and I see this short nurse, red sweater, coming down the hallway, going, weeping. Just crying and 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 crying. You have to be me again. I need to tell you this. I didn't want your dad to be alone. So I took my meal so I would eat with him, and he reached over and he grabbed my hand and he said to me, "I'm not afraid to die anymore. I gave my life to Jesus." Wow. The God I serve even answered that question. I still would have been at peace, but he answered that question also. Now, I thought the story was done. Not with my God. So, my dad passed away. We head home. Now that he's dead, the first person my mother calls is the next door neighbor, who is a nuclear nurse at the hospital that he got all of his testing done in October. We can take this off the shelf now, where he did all the stuff that he did. He was... all of his organs of his body were shutting down. Everything, his stomach, his lungs, his breathing, just everything was shutting down in October. And God sustained him to do all of this stuff for his kids. He washed and waxed the car that he gave to my sister, who hated him. There is no God like ours. Our Father sees the heart of your Father. Ask to understand why, so that you might, and I ask if you haven't, do this, that you might lift up your Father. I don't care how, what they did or didn't do or whatever, that you lift them up before the throne and say, "Daddy, I heard a testimony. I ask that you save my Father." Because he's the God who hears and sees. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share you. I'm done, but one thing. That's why it didn't work. Face to face, that's what we heard. Today, right now, you can have a face-to-face encounter with your daddy. You don't need me. You can do it here, you can do it there, you can do it when you go home. But there are things going on in your life. Have a face-to-face with him. Pour out your heart to him and watch him be who he is, God. Thank you.